Hello there. Welcome again to Seven Laws Blog UK. I'm David, otherwise known as Hesed Yahu or Hesediah. And today I'm going to share my piece called Personal View. Obedience to authority cannot be a core commandment upon mankind. Again, the title of that is Personal View. Obedience to authority cannot be a core commandment upon mankind. In the Sonsino edition of the Babylonian Talmud, one understanding of the law of justice is obedience to authority. And just going to give the quote here. Namely, to establish courts of justice, or perhaps to observe social justice, according to Nachmanides' commentary on Genesis 34, verse 13, or according to what seems to be the Hastings Dictionary, under Noachian precepts, it translates it as obedience to authority. This is footnote 33 of folio 56a of Tractate Sanhedrin, from the Sonsino edition of the Babylonian Talmud, found at halakha.com, which is halakah.com. Now, there are traces of this understanding in more modern resources. So I'm going to give a quote from page 38, the chapter called The Law of Adjudication, from the book Image of the Non-Jew in Judaism, by David Novak, and this is what the quote says. Nachmanides' contemporary, Rabbi Jacob Antoli, who died in 1256, saw dinim as essentially the obligation of non-Jews to obey the laws of their own society. That's the quote. So as can be seen, this shows that an ancient rabbi thought the law of justice, or dinim, referred to obeying the laws of a society, or the laws of one's society. And to continue, this is another quote from a webpage of AskNoah.org. AskNoah.org. The webpage is called The Command to Establish Just Laws and Courts. According to this webpage, it says the following: for the good of society, courts or governments may place necessary legal limits on activities that God's Torah leaves up to personal choice, as long as the restriction is acceptable, or as long as the restrictions are acceptable to the population in general. Then, by the Noahide law of courts, citizens are required to observe the secular law. That's the quote. So I see here that not only are citizens obligated to obey the law of the government, it is this way because of the divine law of justice, the Noahide law of courts. And according to their PDF document on their webpage, AskNoah.org's webpage, there's a PDF called The Establishment of Law and Courts, and on page 5 it says the following: Gentiles are therefore obligated within their command of dinim to make righteous and beneficial laws that are effective for all the country in all matters between people. The laws must obviously conform to logical and moral standards. That's the quote. That's the end of the quote. So not only should Gentiles obey the law, other Gentiles in authority, must create laws, moral and just laws. An important question to ask is this: logical and moral according to whom? Anyway, all these quotes come from some compelling sources. And yet, I can't be compelled to agree, at least not fully. Now, what I say next is a personal stance. I can't say it has any backing from any rabbi. So most people reading this can simply sweep it away. Yet I'm still going to speak out. In the Jewish Bible, it states the following, and this is what it says. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, which was 60 cubits high, and the width of it was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald called out aloud, saying this, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall prostrate your souls to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And anyone who doesn't fall down and prostrate himself shall the same hour be thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." That's according to Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 in the Jewish Bible. The question is simple. Would a Gentile break the command, a divine command, that he is obligated to obey the law of the ruler by refusing to stand? According to what's been said in those compelling sources, it's part of our law, our divine law, to obey authority. And he is an authority, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's given a command, a law. Some rabbis have taught that we must obey the law, obey authority, to keep the divine law of justice. Then surely, if it's the law of the state to worship an idol, the Gentile must worship the idol to fulfill the interpretation of justice given by these rabbis, right? Just in case someone's going to bring up the fact that a Gentile can break the seven laws when coercion is involved, let me bring my other case from the Jewish Bible. And here it is. Listen to this. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, of the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman, from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom, and their laws are different from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to tolerate them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it to the king's treasuries." And the king took off his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said to Haman, "The silver is given to you, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to you." Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written, according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's satraps, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers that were of every people, of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people according to their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to kill, to destroy, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. That's according to the book of Esther, chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, and that's in the same Jewish Bible. Now you see here, there's no coercion, just an authority giving a law. It was taught as shown above, or shown before, that we Gentiles must obey the laws of our governments. Here is a law, given by an authority, so you must obey, right? According to what certain rabbis say, we should. I should. Let me point my next statement to the American Noahide. Proud of his country, a patriot, celebrating the 4th of July, his country's day of independence. But isn't the very existence of his country based on breaking the law of justice according to the aforementioned sources? Wasn't the quest for independence started by the unwillingness to submit to the authority of the King of England? Are such Noahides proud of going against the law of God as interpreted by those rabbis? What about Nazi Germany? There's a link that I give in the written article, or the typed article, which gives evidence of that, you know, there being a death penalty for aiding Jews. So to continue, there is evidence that it was a law that a Gentile was prohibited by the government, by the German government, by authority, from aiding Jews in leaving their designated areas. It had the death penalty attached. Are we Gentiles supposed to obey authority? Were German citizens to obey the law of their government according to the law of justice? Did those Gentiles who helped Jews escape lose their place in the world to come? Some may say that last question is ridiculous, but is it? Many people into the seven laws nowadays place a lot of weight on the teachings of Rambam, but isn't he the one who says the following? Anyone who accepts upon himself the fulfillment of these seven commandments and is precise in their observance is considered one of the pious among the Gentiles and will merit a share in the world to come. That's according to Law 11, Chapter 8, Laws of Kings and Wars in the Mishneh Torah, found in various places on the internet. A person who breaks a part of the seven laws fails to be precise in their observance. If obeying authority, obeying the law of government, is part of the seven laws, then even the Gentile breaking such decrees to help or save someone can't be one of the pious of the nations, and he places his own futurity in jeopardy. But I can hear some objections already, saying that I'm reading these words in an inflexible way. But I love that objection. I love that objection. Why? Because the complaint is against me actually going with what those interpretations say. So my apparent failing, is actually paying attention to what is said. Oh, what a weakness. I should apologize, right? I can just imagine such a complainant witnessing God punishing, killing Nadab and Abihu for offering fires to God that they were not commanded to, according to Leviticus 10. I can hear them saying, oh, how inflexible is God. Or when God has a prophet killed by a lion for not obeying his command not to eat food during a certain journey, according to 1 Kings 13. Maybe such a complainant would even be the one to entice that, ill-fated prophet to eat, because a person, according to this complainant, shouldn't actually live according to the word of a divine command. No, you shouldn't be too inflexible, right? Let's just say this objection is worthless because it is, in essence, advising me to ignore the words of the interpreters of the law of justice and their necessary consequences. The fact is that such an understanding of this law as promoted above potentially undercuts and destroys the seven laws. Just look at the abortionist doctor who kills children after 40 days from conception. The fact is that the laws of the government protect his actions. They legalize his actions. He is complying with the law of the government. He's submitting to authority whilst breaking the divine law against murder. Meanwhile, a Gentile who refused the idolatry commanded by King Nebuchadnezzar would be guilty of breaking this interpretation of the law of justice. To me, that is part of the foolishness in accepting such understandings of the law of justice. But I can imagine another objection, saying that these rabbis are just teaching us to obey just and righteous laws, proper authorities, and therefore it's okay to disobey an unjust law. But really, who is to judge what is and is not a just law? The rabbi? Do I need a rabbi in my pocket Android app to judge every law? Do I judge them according to the seven laws? According to whose understanding of those laws? Mine? What about the things that may not be in the seven laws? Am I bound by the dictates of the overlords at that time? So imagine this, a slave runs away from his master, and I let that slave hide in my barn for a little while, and then he moves on. I personally didn't steal that slave. I guess it could be argued he still stole himself, right? Maybe. Anyway, I personally have stolen nothing. Was I bound to obey the laws of government if they prohibit betting the escape of a slave? Would I no longer be pious for doing such a thing? If obedience to authority, think about that. Wait there. So according to this interpretation, according to the law of justice, according to their interpretation, a Gentile has to, or is obligated to, obey those laws that is agreed upon by everybody and put into law by the government, right? So does that mean that if I drive through a red light, I go against the law, I'm no longer pious of the nations? Does that sound right? What if I drive in a bus lane where I'm not supposed to? There's a law that says no car should be in this bus lane. And I do that. I've gone against the law of government. Surely I must now have lost my place in the world. Come. I am now no longer the pious of the Gentiles because why? I've gone against the commandment of the government. I've not obeyed authority. I'm going again. I'm still going with what they say the law of justice means. Does it make sense? So to continue, if obedience to authority is based on whether it agrees with my morality, then it's only a choice to obey it, and it can't be a divine law that I must obey the authority. It can't be a divine law if I, without the law, choose when it counts and when it doesn't. If you don't understand what I'm saying, let me try it again. So imagine the case of that slave. I let that slave escape. I did the terrible thing of letting a slave stay in my place, and then continue to run away. Now, if I thought it was moral to protect that slave and let him go, here is where this interpretation of the law is, you know, it has to be tested. Think about it. If it's a law, if it's divine law that I should obey authority, I have done something wrong. If it's law. But if someone else is going to say, actually, no, if it's an unjust law, it's okay for you to, you know, disobey it. But then who judges? If it's my morality and my choice, you can't now say it's a divine law that I must obey authority because it's down to my choice. You understand law is not about choice. It's about governing your choice. It's about limiting your choices. This is not limiting my choice. Let me add to this the fact that government is not a moral institution. And its dictates, which are simply opinions backed up by force, are not laws of morality. The people in the government, the majority of whom are not elected, as if that matters, they're not simply angels just wanting to make the world a better place. There is a reason why politicians are viewed by many as liars, as corrupt. Those who vie for political power, who yearn for power over others, are rarely the good amongst us. Such people are more likely to be amongst the worst. They will and do lie to get their goals. The history of government runs like a despotic soap opera where they fight amongst themselves, and the people are not only the victims but also the willing fuel for such evil. My God. Anyway, to interpret God's law of justice as an obligation to obey authority seems to me to be the height of insanity. Someone else could ask me, they could say, David, what do you prefer? Do you prefer lawlessness, that everybody does what's right in their own eyes? But the question is, what do we have right now? At least in the Western culture, everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes, right? But think about it, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is whether it really makes sense that God would command something that would either contradict his other laws or contradict moral laws. And as shown in my examples, it would, and it has. And my stance is that it doesn't make sense. Again, it seems to be the height of insanity to command that we must obey any person or group just because others think he has the right to tell me what to do. Surely morality must be higher in a person's priorities than to being a slave to another man's dictates. Now, previously I've talked about there's a teaching about settling the earth and making it inhabitable. Somebody could ask me that, isn't this teaching about law of justice, isn't it just there to make sure that there's order and stability in society? Now, this brings to mind a television program called Law and Order. It's a terrible program, especially when it comes to God and morality. Its title hides or promotes the way police officers use force, fear, and deception and manipulation of the law to wreck people's lives in order to catch a person who has abused others in one way or another. It's a terrible example of morality. And despite that terrible example, which is in fact one consistent with the statism rife in this world, it teaches me the perspective I should have when it comes to balancing order and stability with morality. You see, even a tyranny, a totalitarian dictatorship, can give stability and order. Mindlessly obeying orders from authority can bring order. But is simply following orders the same as being good and righteous? Can it really be a law, a divine law of justice, if it is just about following orders? Wouldn't that make the Nazi officers who killed many Jews the most righteous, according to such an understanding, since they were simply following orders, obeying authority? So I must reject that the law, the idea, I must reject the idea that the law of justice includes the idea of simply following norms, customs, laws, and so-called authorities. Now, somebody could still come back to me and say that I should pay more attention to what Ask Noah's statement, I should pay more attention to what it says. They would bring up the fact that governments, according to that webpage, governments can make laws where God's Torah leaves room for personal choice. So that means that breaking the seven laws is wrong even if the authority, the so-called authority, commands it. And this, the argument came made that it's only those places where the seven laws don't touch, it's those places where I must obey government. And surely that must be okay, right? And that's not a bad question. But just notice that of all those sources I gave above, two of them didn't make any mention of this caveat. They didn't say anything about, you know, as long you must obey authority, as long as it doesn't go against the seven. They didn't make any such caveat. And some could argue that that caveat should be understood in those sources too, but I'm not going to speculate, because it's not going to make any difference to what I'm going to say next. The problem is that much of what I've shared still applies regardless of whether the government dictate interferes with the seven or interferes with those areas outside the seven. The ruling class and its lawmakers are not the examples of what is good and moral. If they work based on public opinion, then that is fickle and easily swayed by foolishness, for foolishness. On what moral foundation, what just basis can one say, I'm going to turn my moral code off, my thinking off, and just do what they dictate? I can understand somebody obeying government just out of self-preservation, since government is a dangerous beast, an unruly fire. I can understand somebody going along with some uckus of a politician because of safety, because some of those dictates do talk about useful things like traffic motion and flow. But just a whole carte blanche obedience to those who assume authority, even if it's outside of the seven laws, is that supposed to be a divine law upon me? That is dangerous and immoral to a horrifying degree. This interpretation, of course. And no, the notion that the interpretations offered in the first part of this article, that they allow space for rational and conscientious disobedience, that won't cut it. Because we're talking about the divine law of justice, not a mere suggestion that could be bent at will. Either it's an objective law and standard demanding obedience to whatever your local ruler demands, or it's not, and only then you can try to measure and check each law you encounter to see if it's moral or not and decide what to do with it. Let me be blunt. Over history, especially recently, government has been the most successful mass murderer and thief and has been the cause of unjust harm and pain for many a life. And that's only scratching the surface. The governments have done so much more to wreck humanity, I believe. To believe that God would command humans to simply obey its laws or its so-called authority is a complete contradiction in terms. That the one in whom there is no injustice would by divine commandment turn over all humanity to the greatest source of injustice, which is the government. So at least that's where I stand. Thank you very much for your time. That was my article. I appreciate you listening, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you very much.